All right, One Church, I'm so thankful that you're here with us today. Would you mind giving God thanks once again for our band, our singers, our media, everyone that does a part to make sure that our services function like this every Sunday? Send some emoji praise across your screen and thanksgiving to the Father for the people that God has sent to our church to make sure that our services happen and function. We give God thanks for that, right? So before we jump into the word today, I want to remind you of three things real quick. Keep in mind and in prayer for the Thompson family as Shalonda and Ricky laid to rest her special uncle on yesterday. Keep them in your prayers as they are holding on to the memories and thanking God for a life that was well lived. Be reminded we're in our solemn assembly, so do all that you can to make sure your heart stays pure. You're confessing, being a consistent confessor. I'm confessing all your sins to the Father, and as we continue our fast, whatever you decide to do regarding food, remember, fasting is covering the mouth and emptying the stomach. So you can fast from social media, but here it is. If you are right with God, you will have discipline so you don't have to fast from these tangible things, right? So we were in our pursuit of God, all right, during this time of fasting, all right? So let's jump into to the Lord's word today. We're going to continue the series that we're in entitled Reset Our Church. Reset Our Church. Again, 2021, the Spirit led me to know that this is a year to reset, a year to reset. And our foundational scripture for the year is found in 1 Peter. So turn to it, if you will, if you don't have it already locked in, it's on your screen. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, this is where the apostle says this. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Again, that's 1 Peter 5, verse number 10, all right? So we're asking the Lord to do a work within us that we can't do within ourselves, to reset us, reset our church, all right? So it is imperative for us as a 21st century church to be confident and unapologetic regarding who we are in Christ and the authority that we have in God through Christ Jesus. We have to be sold out on that. As an example, my wife and I, we had to go to the optometrist this week. And I told the doctor, I said, you know what, I can save you some time. She said, well, what is it? I said, I'm blind. And she looked at me and she laughed. I said, no. And I handed her my glasses. She said, well, you didn't lie to me. Sir, I said, I'm telling you, I'm blind. And for that cause, I needed to have my eyes looked at, some dilation needed to happen because my eyes need to be reset, they need to be refocused so that I could see better. And this is where we are, I believe, as the body of Christ. We need to be reset. And if we don't allow the Lord to do within us and our own eyes to refocus us, we will continue seeing the same thing over and over. We will continue to stump our toe in every corner. And after a while, our toes become numb to it. And we don't even see the fact that this is a problem. All because we would not take the time to reset. And when it comes to the body of Christ, to the church, to the Catholic church, the universal church, we need to reset ourselves on what God has set forth for us to do, not on what we feel like doing, but we must reset on what God has laid out for us. The challenge here is if we don't reset on God, that means we are focused on anything that's not God. So we cannot be focused on the father of lies. We find ourselves being focused on lies, deceit, and being malicious towards one another. Because we're not focusing on who God has called us to be. If we're calling ourselves the children of God, that means we cannot allow ourselves to be divided by a man's personality, divided by the things that this world is leading us to. Speaking for what's happening in our life today, we've had a lot of our spiritual siblings that were in Washington this week. And there's nothing wrong with anybody going to Washington to support whoever you want to support. But when we allow a personality to lead us down the road that's anti-God, yeah. Houston, Midlothian, wherever you are, Argentina, we have a problem. So for this cause and many, we must reset. Yeah. So I want to challenge you to know that we're not going to allow ourselves to allow a government, a social group, a logo, anything else to have more credit in our lives than the God that gave us everything we needed plus more. So we're going to reset on who God is in our lives. Therefore, our challenge today is to walk in power. That's the title of our sermon today. Walk in power. Instead of walking in the name of a group, a personality, anything else, we choose to walk in power. How about that? So it's my prayer that as you're listening to my speech for the day, that you are allowing your hearts to be open to hear from the Lord. What is it in my life that I'm not allowing myself to walk in the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit? We're going to look again in Acts this Sunday. We're in Acts chapter 2. Last week in Acts chapter 3 this week. Well, last week we were in Acts chapter 2, and there we came in contact with Peter. Peter is now the apostle. And remember, Jesus told Peter in Matthew that upon this rock, upon your life, I'm going to build my church. So here we have Peter. And Peter is standing up in chapter 2. And after the Holy Spirit came upon those, and they were now the witnesses of Jesus Christ, Peter speaks a sermon to the people there in Jerusalem and those that are around Jerusalem. And Peter encourages them, as we talked on last week, to stand up and to speak, right? To stand and speak in accuracy. Right? To stand and speak with accountability, to stand and speak with affirmation, to stand and speak in authority. And Peter continues to speak and to walk and to stand in this type of authority. So now in Acts chapter 3, Peter is literally not just standing and speaking, but now Peter is walking this in this authority. So in Acts chapter 3, we're going to go from verses 1 to verse number 10. So verse number 1 through 2 says this. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from his birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Once again, we're titling our sermon, Walking in Power. So let me give you a couple reasons why you got to walk in power. Are you ready? The first thing that this particular passage yields to us is that we must walk in power because there are crippled people all around us. We have to walk in power because there are some crippled people all around us. Peter uses a word in this passage that many of us as Christians, especially 21st century woke Christians, do not use. Peter says, he uses the word give. He says that they're here. We have a man, Peter and John, and they're doing what they have been called to do. They're going to the temple courts to pray, and they're going to give something to God in the sacrifice of their lifestyle. Yet on their way to go and pray, they come in contact with a man that needed some help. Let's look at this lame man's placing. Let's look at his situation. Would you mind? So here we have a man that's at the temple gates. We have a man now that has not does not understand what it means to work on his own, to experience the glory of having a job every day. Somebody lays him out at the temple courts, at the gate, so that he can receive alms. Receive help from people. Listen, there are crippled people all around us, and there are some people around us today that have not learned the art of being able to work for themselves. They're all around us, and so they're all around us, and they're needing something. They're wanting something from us, from the body of Christ. And so here, there, and so his location. So we have his condition. His location. He's at the temple gate. That's called Beautiful. He's in an ugly situation, but in a beautiful place. Many of us have been in some nice places, but our situations internally have been horrible. Here we have a man that's crippled. So not only do we observe the fact that he's in a bad condition, he's also in a beautiful place. But get this, he's at a place called Beautiful, in an ugly situation. But apparently God is going to do something beautiful in his life. So I want you to know that you are not a product of your environment. Your environment is a product of what God has produced in you. So there are crippled people around us. Could it be that you are the crippled person today? Could it be that you are the one that's looking for help? But I want you to know that help has arrived because God has already given you Jesus. And so here Paul and John, they're Peter and John, they're walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. He had a situation where every day somebody brought him to the place to get help. But what he didn't realize, well, on today, God has something special for him. Could it be that in your life on today that God has something special for you? You came, you tuned in today thinking you're going to receive one thing from the Lord to see who was there and all that. But could it be that God has set you up to meet your greatest expectation on today? What this pastor says to us is there are crippled people all around us. So what is your response to those that are crippled? What do you do in the lives to help those that are crippled? Let's look at verse number 3. Verse 3 says this. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Wow. So not only do we have crippled people all around us, but we must walk in God's power because crippled people need more than what they're asking for. So the people that you have around you, I know they have made their request for maybe something that seems to be enough to handle the present moment. But what every crippled person needs is not just something for the moment. They need something for a lifetime. We recognize that the crippledness that everybody has is the being crippled of sin. So there are people around you right now that want a handout to satisfy right now. But what they need is to know about the satisfaction of their crippledness being taken completely away through the power of Jesus Christ. People always say they need this, but what they really need is something greater. And so there is an old Greek god called Janus. If anybody knows anything about the Greek living, Janus was the god that was two-faced. He had a face going one way and a face going the other way at the same time. So we have some Janus-ology, some Janus people around that are two-faced. They say they need this, but they really need that. So Janus was the god of beginning, the god of time. And people around us are searching for a new start. They're searching for something to allow them to last forever. But what they're asking for is something that's temporal. But what we have to offer the world is something that is eternal. They're asking for one thing, but honey, they need something else. You have people in your life that they keep on calling you, want to get your perspective on this. They don't really want your perspective on that. They need to know the real truth that the only way they're going to find peace in life is through the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And we as the church, we must be apt. We must be ready to tell them that the answer is not in politics. The answer is not in a social group. The answer is only through the power of Jesus Christ. So in this passage, once again, he says in verse number 3, Peter and John entered in and they asked, and he asked them for money. I think that's very interesting. What he needed, what he thought he needed was alms, was money to take care of his needs for the day. People around you today, so many people are searching for answers. And they're trying to find answers in the wrong place. If we continue to try to find our answers, even as the body of Christ, in partnering with the government, in partnering with other social groups, we're going to continue to need more and more later on. We want a quick fix in life. Instead of trusting God for the journey, trusting God through the hills and the valleys, he asked for one thing, but what he really needed was something more. What is going to be your response today? If we're asking God to give us the strength to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, what is going to be our response to the world when they ask for one thing, but we know what they really need? Are we going to turn them off, or will we help supply this temporal need but let them know I have something, I have what you really need in life, which is Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter if it's those that are on whatever side, political side they're in. The government is never going to be the answer. From those that are calling themselves patriots, those that are part of BLM, both extreme people can be on both sides. Good people can be on both sides, but it's never going to be the answer. The answer is only found in Jesus Christ. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Look at verses number 4-5. The text says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look on us. Verse 5 says this. So the man gave his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter looked straight ahead at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. We must walk in God's power because, write this down if you will, to prevent crippled people from giving and expecting in vain. We got to walk in power to prevent crippled people from giving and expecting in vain. Listen, will you think with me? Can you imagine if Peter and John were the type of Christians who only went to the temple courts on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter? Their faith in Christ was not as strong as it needed to be. And God gave them this divine, authentic moment to represent the power of the Holy Spirit. But they didn't have enough faith in God to even blow dust off of a peanut. So they wouldn't have enough faith to speak in faith to this man that was lame at the temple gate. Can you imagine, what if Peter and John were the type of Christians that had what we would call a spiritual ego, where they were what we would call possibly professional Christians, where they were too high on themselves to be bothered with anybody lower than what they thought. And so what if Peter and John were the type of Christians that wouldn't be bothered to even look at this man? Because you do know what happens when you see somebody that's big, and you do have the power to not see them. You know, that's what we do. When we're riding on the road and we see people on the side of 35, we can see them, but we cannot see them at the same time. Aren't you glad that Peter and John were not the type of Christians that sometimes we are? But we see people in need and we make the choice not to see them. We look at them, we see the issue, but we make the choice of not seeing it. Is this not a picture of our culture today? That we have all kinds of calamities around us, but we choose not to see it because we're so busy. We don't understand what this Good Samaritan life is all about. We don't understand. We don't want to take time out of our busy schedules. We don't want to see it. But until it knocks at our door, now we want everybody to stop what you're doing and see what I see. Listen, we've got to ask the Lord to refocus us and to reset our eyes. What has happened to the culture today, part of the issue is they have come in contact with the wrong people. They have met the wrong church folks. So much so now that their hurt has now been deepened because they were already hurt coming in, and they came in contact expecting to get something from the wrong people, and now they're hurt even deeper. So can you imagine, aren't you glad that Peter and John did not respond in power the way sometimes we respond in power? They did not take advantage of the power, the authority that God had given them, so much so that Peter says, look on us. Don't just have your hand out looking somewhere else, trying to find another person to take advantage of. Peter said, no. If you're going to ask something from me, look at me. So Peter asks for his attention with his eyes. So many of us that we find ourselves getting caught in these moments where we want to help people, but they really don't want what we have. They just want what we got. They don't want the power that we have in God. They just want the money in our pocket or just the attention of our eyes. Peter said, if you're going to ask me, you got to look at me. Look at me in my eyes. I've got something that's going to help you really live. So we have to walk in God's power to prevent crippled people from giving and expecting something in vain. So many folks have joined churches all over the world expecting something, and the church has let them down. Can I step to the edge this morning and say that's one of the issues we have in our culture, in our world today? That the church, we have used our authority, we've used our power to speak about things that are non-Bible, that are non-biblical, that are non-God. And so now we have the opportunity to tell somebody about God. They don't want to hear nothing we have to say. Wow. Because they were expecting something from people that could not give it to them. And we write blogs now. People are not going to church anymore. Well, the reason why folks are not going to church, yeah, some people are using the pandemic as an excuse. But the other reason why some folks are not going, because we don't represent the body of Christ away from a building. We got to walk in God's power, everybody, to prevent the next young man, the next young woman from being hurt by talking to the wrong people, from getting becoming a part of an organism, an organization that's out for itself and not for the kingdom of God. We got to walk in power. Keep on journeying with me in the passage. It says now, I'm looking verse number 6 and 7. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the hand, by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Now look at that. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give. Now that's a word we don't use a lot in the Christian church, because we're looking to receive more than we ought to give. Peter says, now I know what I have, but I know what you need. And what I have, I'm going to give it to you. Jot this down if you will. We have to walk in God's power, because there are crippled people who want to walk. There are people around us, my friends, and they are tired and sick, sick and tired of being in the present condition that they are in. And here this crippled man comes to the place where he should be able to come in contact with people that have been in contact with the Holy Spirit. He comes to a place where he believed he could get help. The reason why God has placed certain people around you is not so that you can make yourself look good because you look better than them. No, 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 no. God has placed some people around you because God is affording you the opportunity to represent the power of the Lord in their lives. There are people around you right now that want to walk. And this idea of walking says that this man is about to really start living. You see, the reason why some of us don't help some people, because we want people to remain dependent on us. There are some spiritual people in our lives today that they don't really want us to know all the truth of God's work. We want them to keep leaning on us. And so we hold back the revelations that God has given us, the understanding of the scriptures that God has given us, because we really want people to have to depend on us. But they want to walk. So who in the world do we think we are as the church to prevent those that are crippled from walking? Again, Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give thee. Not in my name, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This man had an expectation. This man had an expectation from those who were a part of the body of Christ. Now, granted, as a beggar, he asked from everybody. But in this particular moment, he actually was begging to the right people. Listen, you are the right person. God has equipped you. God has strengthened you and encouraged you. You are the right person to be the giver of the answer to the person that asks for need from you the next time. You are the right person. And so he had an expectation. He wanted Peter and John to give him some money. But what they internally give him, Peter is about to give him life through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to challenge many of us today. We're about done, but I want to challenge you to not diminish the authority and the power that God has given you. All right, I'm going to say it again. Do not diminish the power that God has given you to walk in and to represent him herein on the earth. Don't diminish it. Don't allow anybody to allow your past to diminish it. Don't you even allow your own past. Don't you do it. To diminish you because God has redeemed you. And so you have the responsibility now to walk this walk in power. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what did he tell him to do next? Walk. So, Mac, are you saying to me on this second Sunday in January of 2021 that this same authority that Peter and John are functioning in is the same power and authority that I have today? And the answer is yes. You have the same power to meet the expectation in people's lives. Now get this, and we all know this, but I'm going to have to say this, that we don't have the power to heal anybody. God does the healing. But we do have the power to speak it. You do have the authority to walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So you have the power to speak it. And so Peter and John says, listen, what you want, I don't have, but what I have, I'm going to give you. So Peter says to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now listen, many of us have been trying to find a whole lot to say. This is what you ought to be saying, that I don't have all this, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Y'all, that's the authority, that's the power. So stop talking in your name. Stop talking in your family's name. Talk in the name of Jesus. And when you put the name of Jesus on it, it will keep us from saying some silly stuff. It'll keep us from lying. It'll keep us from changing the truth and make the truth to make our words work for us. When you put Jesus' name on it, we have to speak the truth. And he said, listen, I don't have what you need, but I've got what you need. Can I challenge you today that even in your own family's life, they may want this, they may want that, they want a whole lot of stuff, but what they need is for you to speak God's word in the name of Jesus in your own home. Don't spend your time talking about stuff you have no control over. You have control on professing power in the name of Jesus. And so now what does Peter do? Peter just doesn't talk about it. Peter does something. We got a whole lot again. Hallelujah, no do-you-lujah. Peter put some do-you-lujah with his action. So he reached out his hand and he grabbed the man by the right hand. There are so many thoughts out there that there was power in Peter's hand. And you can extrapolate all you want to from it, but all we know for sure is that when Peter reached out his hand, something happened between either Peter's hand or the crippled man's hand, but by the time Peter touched the crippled man's hands, the Bible says that his feet and his ankles gained strength. I don't know where the power exchanged. I don't know. I don't know if it was because Peter's obedience to talk or if it was the man's obedience to Peter to give him his hand. I don't know if it was the index finger in a nail. I don't know where the power exchanged, but all we know is that the man's feet and ankles got strength. When you look at your own life, we don't know where the exchange really happened. We don't know when the transformation really happened. But all we know is that one day we had a brand new way of experiencing life. One day our eyes really had focus and we're really hearing and seeing what God had for us to hear and God had for us to say. We don't know when it happened, but something happened in between us taking a step of faith and God's word coming to our hearts, that a change happened. The text says that this man's ankles and his feet gained strength. So listen, I don't know what you're dealing with today, but God's word is still strong enough for your life, even in 2021, that you don't have to wait and go through a whole litany of things, because it happened instantaneously at the right time, right then when obedience from both men came together, this man started receiving strength where he was once weak. So I don't know if you are in the season of life where you're functioning like a Peter or you're functioning like a cripple, man. I don't know. But in the act of obedience, God has a way of transforming your life. This is why we've got to reset today. Because God has something he's trying to reveal to us, his people. So he says to him, he says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that, if you will. That Peter didn't just talk about this man experiencing power. Peter helped him up. So many of us in the body of Christ, we talk a real good game, but we don't want to extend our hand to help anybody. People need some practical, some livable help. Don't just tell me I'm healed, but help me stand up so I can walk in my healing. We want to just have to get up and go. No. I'm not just going to tell you to get up. I'm going to help you get up. When was the last time you not only gave, but you helped somebody get to where you told them they were already were? When was the last time you were this good Samaritan again, where you put your plans to the side to help somebody walk in their healing? He says here, help him, and instantaneously the man's feet and ankle bones became strong. This is supposed to be the response of the church, that we're supposed to be willing to go over, above, and beyond. And sometimes it's not even that big. Sometimes it's just us extending a hand. But the problem is, the challenge is rather, we've got to look for it. Once again, you cannot see what's in front of you. With all that happened this past week in D.C., what some of us have known as our reality of possibly, not just possibly, but two kinds of judgment and two kinds of criminality. I've had some conversations with some of my siblings, and I'm so thankful that they see it now. I can't get mad it took them all this time to see it. I'm just glad they see it. Because now that we're seeing the same thing, now we can come together and make something happen, make a change happen. Listen, you all, the world needs the church to see what's going on. Not just see it, but to get their hands dirty and reach out and help them understand that power only comes from the Lord. I'm done. Look at verses number 8 and 9 that says this. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Listen. There's something about this, what had happened. You know, we say that in the jargon sense today, but in the Bible it said what had happened, right? What had happened? What had happened? So listen. We must walk in the power, in God's power. I got one more thing. Because crippled people, again, want to be healed and they want to praise God. Yeah. Everybody wants a personal reason, a personal discovery for a reason to praise God. Now, there's something about you being able to praise God for what God has done in your brother's life or your sister's life. But it's something different for you to praise God for what God has done or is doing in your own life. So this man's life has now been changed. So he is now responsible for giving his own praise to God for what God has done. So look at this. Many of us, if we're not careful, we will miss the moment that God has orchestrated for us to be a part of somebody learning and experiencing the power of God for themselves. We can find ourselves so busy doing a whole lot of stuff that we can miss this divine moment. So Peter and John, they did not miss the moment. Because they did not miss the moment, now they're experiencing for themselves this man that was once crippled. He is now jumping, walking, and praising God. Now listen, would you put your sanctified imagination on with me once again? Can you imagine this man that was once crippled, and all of a sudden he's figuring out how to walk on his own? And by the time he figures out how to walk a little bit, you know how a baby walks, and they fall, and you see them trying to get their balance. They finally stand up again. This grown man, he moves from walking to jumping.
Now listen, the sad thing is for many of us, it has taken us years to go from walking to jumping. It's taken us a long time to recognize the power that delivered us. And so we've gotten caught up in making sure we look right to people and that we sound right to people. But no. This man was so excited because he knew from whence he had come. He had lived so long in a crippled state, but now that he's not just able to walk, now he's running on his own. So you know what happens next? His walking and his running turn into celebration. His walking and his running turned into praise. So the Bible says that he was walking and jumping and praising God. Listen, I don't know what you're waiting on in your own life, but when you look back and see how far God has brought you, when you look back and remember the days that you lived in a spiritual crippled state, when you lived in a way that you were so far removed from God, you can look back on it and see, and you can see now how far you've come. So you've learned to crawl, to walk, to jump, and now to praise God. So this man that was once crippled, here he is. Verse 9 says, and when all the people saw him walking and praising God. So you ought to praise God in such a way that those on the outside will come and see the noise that you're making. You remember the first time Peter preached there in Acts chapter 2, that the people that were not in Jerusalem, they came around to see what all the noise was about. They thought the people were drunk. But Peter said, they're not drunk. So here we have this second miracle that God allowed Peter to be a part of. And so here Peter is. And so it was a whole crowd of people the first time. Now it's just one person. That God makes a difference in this one man's life. And because of what God does in this one man's life, it becomes amazing for all those that come and see. I don't know what you're waiting on in your world. Please stop diminishing the power of God in your life. God has rescued you and given your body strength, given your ankles and your feet strength now to stand and to walk. So not only must you stand and walk in praise, but you must now declare the praises of him who delivered you, the praise of him who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So this one crippled man has now caused those in the city to now stand in amazement. And they're not in amazement because he's walking and because he's running. They're in amazement now because God has done this. Peter is going to get in trouble because of this. We'll talk about that next week. But Peter didn't mind getting in trouble so that God would be magnified. Peter did not mind going to jail so that God would be glorified. We have to come to the place, my friends, where we're satisfied with making sure that God is glorified, even in our misfortune. Even when people don't like us, I would rather you not like me and have God's hands on me. And so here Peter and John, they've done what God wanted them to do. So now they're standing and they're seeing a miracle. This one man that was crippled is now healed. And he's now praising God. So can I stop real quick and talk to all the ex-crippled people? All those of us that were once crippled. Paul said, such were some of you. So everybody in the room today, you were once crippled. Everybody in your home today, you were once crippled. But you came in contact with the ever-loving God. And even though you are part of God's army, even though you are his son and daughter, we still have some crippled tendencies. And in the midst of our crippled tendencies, God does not break another limb and put us in the back of the army, put us in the back of the line. But God exposes and gives us brand new mercies every day. So I know what God is looking for from all of us. God wants all of us to think about the days that we were living in a state where we needed help and we were getting it from everybody and all the wrong places, the wrong people. But we came in contact with the power of God. And so our lives have never been the same ever since then. Why? Because we met Jesus for ourselves. And on this beautiful Sunday morning, if you know that it was God that gave strength to your bones, if you know that it was God that gave strength to your life, you ought to raise your voice and tell God, I thank you for the healing power of God. So I'm challenging you today to not only, as we talked last week, of standing and speaking, but now you've got to walk in power. You've got to walk in this dunamis power, so much so that you will no longer give in to the whims of the world. You will no longer give in to the whims of your flesh, but you're going to walk in the authority of God's power. So come what may all around me, I don't care who turns against me, I'm going to walk in the power of the Lord. I don't care who doesn't like me, who doesn't like what I do. It doesn't matter to me because I'm not doing it in my name. But Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And if God gave Peter the right to call on his son's name, we also have the right to call on the name of Jesus. For we recognize there is power in the name of Jesus. So I don't care what you're dealing with today. If you can just call on the name of Jesus, there is power in that name. So we can walk in God's power. You have to make the choice today to not give in, but to walk in the authority of God. This world needs you to do it. You don't have time now to sit on the sideline and twiddle your fingers. All that we have been exposed to this week, this world needs the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up and walk in authority. Walk in power. You know, the reason why we can do this is because, as the scripture says, early that Sunday morning, Jesus rose with all power. So that same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that now lives in you. So my friends, beloved, walk in the power of God on today. Let your neighborhood be different because you've decided to walk in God's power. Let your marriage be different because you've made the choice to walk in God's power. And I have not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has in store. But you've got to choose to walk in power today. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you on today for the sweet and for the great reminder, the kick in the pants, that you've given us power today. Power not only to talk right and live right. Yeah, we recognize that, but we got power to do right. We got power to speak in your name, to speak in the authority of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. And for those that are listening today and you want to have more understanding regarding this power, would you email us or whatever platform you're on this morning? Would you send us a message and we'll reach out to you? Because I want you to know that you don't have to give up. I know it looks like it's calamity everywhere, but it's not over yet. It's not over. You have been given the power to stand and the power to withstand. John says in John 1 John 4, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Would you raise your hands with me wherever you are? Father, we thank you and we receive your power on today. Thank you for trusting us. That in spite of us, because we recognize that Peter wasn't walking in authority his whole life. Peter has some big mess ups along the way. But it did not diminish the plans you have for Peter's life. So if you decided to use Peter in all that he would do and that he did do, Father, we know that you still have plans for us. So we thank you on today. And we choose to walk in your strength and your power. So Father, as we wait on you, we know that our strength will come. And as you touch us, we thank you for the power of your strength. So we love you. Strength will arise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will arise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord, our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The do not faint, you won't grow weary. Ghost. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the clarity of your voice. And we will continue to magnify your name. We choose this week to walk in power. Father, bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lift your countenance upon us and give us your peace as we rely in you and in you alone. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Have a great week this week. Stick fast on your fasting. We'll see you on next Sunday. God loves you. This week, walk in God's power. Bye-bye.